Hello there again, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to podcast number 6 on demonstrating the Macintosh and VoiceOver. And wow, you know, when I started doing these, the first podcast a while back, I never knew how many of these I would be doing, or you know, how far it would go. But I'll tell you what, with all the email I've received and positive feedback, that's definitely motivation to continue doing these. And thanks to everyone who has sent me emails. I've received lots of emails, you know, with questions, and even from people who have said, you know, thanks to my recordings that they've gone out and purchased a Mac. And that is great. That makes it all worth it as far as I'm concerned. So definitely keep that feedback coming. It's much appreciated. And this podcast, what I'm going to talk about, is actually based on some different emails I've received. And there's actually three different things I'm going to cover in this one. I've received some email from people saying, you know, they go to the Apple stores and the people there don't really know a lot about VoiceOver, and, you know, they have trouble, you know, getting it to work, and they don't know the keystrokes and that type of thing. And I know I've mentioned keystrokes kind of scattered throughout, but in this one, what I'm going to do is tell you the basics of what to look for when you go to the Apple store and what to do, or, you know, when you can get access to a Mac, and a couple other tips just in general for, you know, for playing with it and seeing if it's going to, you know, meet your needs. So we'll definitely cover that. And I'll talk a little there, too, about choosing adaptive technology in general, not just the Mac, but we'll branch out just a little bit on that topic. Then we'll look at, in VoiceOver, what's called the NumPad Commander. I know, again, I've mentioned it in the past, but some people say they don't like always holding down the you know, the control and the option keys to navigate. And there is a command to lock those keys, but I know I've made kind of casual mention of the NumPad Commander, but that makes things so much easier. So we will cover that. And then I've also gotten some questions about how to copy files on the Mac, and I can actually tie that in to another question that I was asked about. Can you transfer books to the Victor Reader Stream on the Macintosh, or do you have to use Windows or PC, or do you have to install Windows on your Mac to do that? Yes, you can transfer them in the Mac OS, and we'll look at that. We'll actually go to Bookshare and maybe grab a book from their new site. They just put up their new site a couple of weeks ago. And we'll also go over to the NLS Talking Books website and grab a book and put that on the stream. So that's going to kind of be what we're going to do here. So hope everybody enjoys this. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. All right, let's start out with, if you want to go look at a Macintosh, what things do you really need to know to put this down to the basics? And I do want to talk about that in this first part. A lot of times you might find that the people at the Apple store aren't really familiar with VoiceOver. It's probably not a common thing they're asked about. I know when I went and looked at the Macintosh, the person I was working with, they were very helpful as much as they could be, but they weren't really familiar with it. So what I'm going to mention to you here are some keystrokes, just the basic ones that you need to know for now to at least allow you to navigate the Mac OS, to try it, to kind of get a feel for it. And I'll give you a couple of different categories of keys. The first ones are essential. If you don't want to continue trying to memorize the other keystrokes, that's fine. They're not essential, though they will make things easier. But these first ones, you really need to know them to be successful with VoiceOver at all. And this doesn't matter either whatever Macintosh you choose to use. As far as which one is the best one for a blind person, well, as far as cost goes, I like the Mac Mini because it's the highest one is $799, and that one doesn't include a display, but it does have everything else you could need. And there, for a blind person especially, you know, you're not paying for a display you're not going to use, but you can connect one in the usual way. It's got a monitor port on the back, and you can plug in a display if you want or need to, but it's not required. And there is a built-in speaker on the bottom, too, that you can use if you don't connect external speakers. So that's why I think that one is good for blind people especially, because you're not paying for a screen that you're probably not going to use. Now, certainly, if your budget allows you to, you know, get something higher and you want to do that, certainly feel free. If you want a laptop, of course, you can go with the MacBook or the MacBook Pro. The iMac is a fully self-contained machine. It's got the display built into it. And then the Mac Pro, which really is up there. It's got, I think, 8 cores total. It's got, I don't know if it's two quad-core processors, something like that. But it's kind of the Cadillac of the Macs, as it were. VoiceOver will work on any of them. That's part of the Macintosh operating system, so you'll have that, and you can install Windows or, you know, do any of the other stuff that I've, you know, mentioned in any of these podcasts, no matter which Mac you get. So that's not an issue there. But I like the Mac Mini, and I'm glad I got that one. And it's very portable. It'll fit in a backpack. It can't run on a battery. It does plug in. But if running on a battery is important to you, then you may want to, you know, go with the laptop approach. So anyway, as far as what keystrokes to know that are the most important to you, well, the first one and foremost is the Command F5. Now, the Command key is, there's two of them. There's one to the left and one to the right of the spacebar, at least on the desktop keyboards, which is all I've seen. But I'm assuming the laptop is similar. But it's a Command F5. That activates a VoiceOver. Now, here's a little bit of an interesting thing with that. The function keys on a Macintosh can be set up in two ways. They can be set up to do hardware functions or software functions. The hardware functions would be something like changing the volume or the brightness, perhaps. Now, for this to work, to activate VoiceOver, they do have to be configured to do software functions. However, there is another way to do this. If pressing Command F5 does not activate VoiceOver, that would mean the function keys are probably set to do hardware functions. So what you can do in that case is hold the Command key down and then press Function also. Hold those two keys down, Command and Function, and then press F5. When you hold the Function key down with a F key, then it causes that F key to perform the opposite action of what it's configured to do in the system preferences. So in that case, it would be to do a software function. And then later you can go into the system preferences when you get your own Mac and make sure that it is set to do software functions all the time. That's usually going to be probably where a blind person is going to want those to be set. As far as where the function key is located, at least on the desktop keyboard, again, I'm not sure where it's at on the laptop, although most of the time it's one of the keys to the left of the spacebar on a laptop. But on the desktop keyboard, the function key is right above the delete key, not the backspace key, but the delete. If you're familiar with a Windows keyboard, you know the 6 key, two rows of keys in a triplet pattern. You've got delete, end, and then page down, and then insert on a Windows keyboard, home, and then page up. The function key, and on an Apple keyboard too, by the way, you'll have 3 more keys above that, which you don't usually see on Windows keyboards. But the function key is located on a Macintosh desktop keyboard where the insert key would be on a Windows keyboard, right above delete in that 3 key set. So again, if try Command F5 first. If that doesn't work, and the function keys are configured to do hardware functions like volume or brightness, then do Command Function. Hold those two keys down and press F5, and it should work and activate VoiceOver. So once you have it running, let me give you 3 keystrokes for navigating. These are the most important ones to know. To do these, you hold the Control and the Option key down, and again, on a desktop keyboard, Control and Option are, there's 2 of them again, they are to the left of the space bar, you have the command key first to the left of the space, and then you've got option, and then you've got control. So, and it's the same on the right side of the space bar. You've got command, option, and then control on that side also. So you would hold the control and the option keys down to do these voiceover keystrokes. And they are control option, hold those down, and then press the right arrow to navigate forward by item, and control option left arrow to navigate left an item. And then control option space bar is the select key. So if we're just on the desktop, which you may or may not be when you first, you know, fire up a Mac, but if you start it up from scratch, that's where you will be usually. And you press those keys, control option left or control option right. Probably the only thing you'll have on your desktop, unless other things were added, is the Macintosh HD. So it'll just say,
Macintosh HD selected.
Macintosh HD.
Macintosh HD selected.
And that's all it's probably going to say, because that's all that's there.
Macintosh HD selected.
Okay. So if you press control option space.
Oh. Window. Macintosh HD. Table. Table.
That will open it for you. That's the voiceover. Basically activate item command. So with those three keystrokes, you could navigate the Mac. Like, I could do a control option right arrow here.
Table.
Okay. Now let me show you one other keystroke. Actually, there's two other ones that I do want to show you. And that's, these are the only ones you really have to know. The interact and stop interacting keys. Control option shift down arrow.
Interact with table on collapsed row one.
That's the interact key, which basically means to focus in or zoom in on an item. And now you can use control option right arrow here to move through these items.
Date modified, size, kind, name, developer, collapsed level 0. Date modified, May 4th, name, develop, date, mop, size, date, name,
now developer. This also, you don't really have to even use voiceover commands. You can just press the regular up and down arrow keys also, or left and right to move.
Library, group, MP3, group, system, group.
Okay, and then control option shift up arrow to stop interacting when you don't
want to. Stop interacting with table.
Because again, we can just, you know, arrow up and down with that. So those are the only keystrokes you really have to know to navigate around with VoiceOver. Again, let me go through them with you again one more time. And you may want to just kind of write these down and maybe carry it with you. Command F5 will activate VoiceOver. If that does not work, then it means the function keys are configured to do hardware functions instead of software. And again, that can be changed in the system preferences. So in that case, press and hold the command key and the function key and press F5. And even if the folks at the Apple Store don't know about VoiceOver, if you tell them what keys you're looking for them, they should be able to help you find those if you do have trouble with that problem. So Command F5, or again, Command Function F5 if the function keys are configured for hardware to activate a VoiceOver. And then Control Option, hold those keys down and press left and right arrows to navigate forward and backward through the items. And control option spacebar will activate the item you're sitting on, whether it's a button, a checkbox, opening a folder like or opening the hard drive like we just did. And then if you're on like a table or a list, to interact with it, if you can't use the regular Macintosh arrow key, just the arrow keys by themselves, which is a Mac OS, you know, command, which usually you can, but then control option shift control option shift down arrow will interact with an item, and control option shift up arrow will stop interacting with that item. So with those keystrokes, you should be able to at least navigate around it and kind of experiment a little bit. And that works, you know, on the web. If you go to Safari and that type of thing, so you know, that I could give you a couple more keystrokes, but I don't want to overwhelm. Well, actually, I will do that. I'll give you some other ones. They're not essential for you to know to navigate, but if you feel like venturing a little more, I'll give you a couple of other ones that you can use Not required for you to experiment with VoiceOver, but they will help you if you do want to, you know, really delve in and play with an application. To go to the menu bar, where you got the Apple, you know, File, Edit, that's Control Option M. We'll take you to that. Let's see. Control Option D, I believe it is. Let me just double check this. Let's see. Control Option D should move us to.
This item has no help tag.
Yeah. Okay. If I can hit the right key here. Control Option D.
Finder running.
Yeah, that moves to the dock, which is kind of at the bottom, and that's and then you can arrow left and right. That kind of shows you a list of everything that's running, and it also has some applications that are already there. So it's kind of a cross between the quick launch bar in Windows and the task bar. But in any case, you can that's where you can get to Safari and that type of thing, the web browser, and then you can just press Enter to open it. So those are a couple other commands. Control Option M to go to the menu bar. Control Option D to move to the dock. And there's a bunch of other VoiceOver commands. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I just wanted to give you some things so when you go to the store and you want to try it out, you know, that you have some keystrokes that will get you started. Certainly, if you're going to go to an Apple store and you want to know, you know, if there's certain other keystrokes, email me, and I will I'll give those keystrokes to you. Or you can also download the VoiceOver User's Guide and read it, which is what I did before I even got a Mac. I did read that. It's a PDF file, and it's very accessible. That's at apple.com/accessibility. You can do that. Okay. So that a couple other things I want to talk about as far as, the Macs in general. I kind of covered the types of Macs. What about if you have an opportunity to get one used? That may not be a bad idea. If you can, you know, get one at a good price that's been used, if it's, you know, in good condition. The one thing I would say there, if you're going to get a used Mac, make sure that it is an Intel-based Mac, that it does have an Intel processor. If it's a G4, a G5 Mac, a Power PC, anything like that, don't bother with it. It's going to be too old to really do much with it, and 10.5 is going to be the last operating system that will run on those processors. Starting with OS 10.6, it will only work on the Intel Macs. Plus, you won't be able to run Windows using Fusion or any of that stuff with the G4 or G5 processor Macs. So that's the main thing I would say. If you do have an opportunity to get a used one, make sure it's an Intel Mac. Find that out first, actually. And then you can go on to look at the other stuff, maybe the price, how much, you know, the person wants for it. If it's not an Intel-based Mac, don't even bother continuing with it. It's not worth it. You'll be far too limited by getting one of the older processor Macintoshes. Because Apple went to the Intels in 2006, so you know right then and there that it's going to be at least 3 years old. And again, 10.5 is going to be the last OS that's going to run on those. But as long as it's an Intel-based Mac, it might be worth considering, you know, to get a used one. So that's another little tidbit there. The other thing I would say is, you know, take some time, and this doesn't even just apply to the Macintosh. I would say it applies to any adaptive technology, whether it's a Windows screen reader or anything like that. Take some time and really kind of, you know, read up on it, test the demos, you know, do all that stuff and do the research, because the more informed you are, the more equipped you'll be to make a better decision, whether you're buying it yourself or whether, you know, an agency is buying something for you. There was a survey that was done recently on screen reader users, particularly with the web, and only 6% of the people used VoiceOver, 23% used WindowEyes, and 74% actually used JAWS. Now, I can't help but wonder, because I know a lot of the rehab agencies push JAWS and they don't even offer anything else. And I'd love to know, out of those 74%, how many people actually chose to use JAWS there and how many of it was just that's what they were given without even being offered anything else. So definitely do the homework, whether, you know, you decide on a Mac or Windows, you know, the different Windows screen readers. It's well worth it to do the research, you know, ask some questions, and try the demos. Don't just take, you know, what's handed to you. because you might be selling yourself short by doing that. So that's pretty much all I can think of to cover on that, on you know, what to do at the Apple Store, and you know, kind of really taking the time and evaluating things. If you have any other questions about that, certainly feel free to email me, and I'll give my email address at the end of this at the end of the podcast. Okay, the next thing I want to show you, and I've mentioned it, I know, briefly in previous podcasts, but I want to look in detail with you at the NumPad Commander for VoiceOver, which really makes using it a lot easier. When I first got my Macintosh, it did get kind of frustrating always to have to press the control and the option keys and hold them down while, you know, navigating. And there is a command to lock those keys so you don't have to hold them, but then you had to remember to release it when you wanted to use a regular Mac OS command, you know, like tabbing around and or that kind of thing. So there is a way to control a VoiceOver through the numeric keypad, and you can even set up your own keystrokes for the different actions. And this is similar to WindowWise. I know you can definitely do this. And I believe JAWS you can too. You can assign like different keystrokes to different screen reader functions. The way that VoiceOver does that is very similar. Now, of course, the desktop keyboards have a numeric keypad on the right side. And laptops, I believe you can simulate the numeric keypad presses by holding the function key and pressing some different keystrokes, although that would probably be just about the same as using the control option keys, so I don't know how much this will benefit laptop users. That's admittedly, for me at least, why I've always kind of preferred desktop keyboards, just because I never really have liked the laptop keyboards much, giving up the numeric keypad and that type of thing. I never type numbers using the numpad because I learned to type originally on a typewriter. I always use the top row for that. But for screen reader navigation, it does come in handy at times. But anyway, the way this works is there's a default numpad layout that comes with VoiceOver, but you can, you know, modify it. And there are a couple of modifications that I would advise you to use or to change. And I'll go ahead and show you that. And at the same time, you'll see kind of how the NumPad Commander works here. So let me just go ahead and set my VictorReader stream here next to the speaker. Okay. And what we'll go ahead and do is open up the VoiceOver utility or the VoiceOver control panel, and I'll show you what's available and how you can kind of define these NumPad keys. And like I said, there's a couple that you may want to change. So to open the VoiceOver control panel, we want to do Control Option F8.
Macintosh HD selected. VoiceOver utility, window, VoiceOver utility, utility categories, table, has keyboard focus.
Okay, and we can just arrow down here. We don't even have to use any VoiceOver commands. Let's just arrow down to the NumPad Commander.
Row 2, row 7, visuals in row 8, numpad image, numpad.
Numpad, okay. So, if we press, actually, let me go ahead and read this window with the VoiceOver keys, because we can get to the controls that way. We could tab through them, but if there's any intervening text, we'll hear that as well, and I'll explain as we go what these options are.
Enable NumPad Commander, checkbox.
Enable NumPad Commander. If you uncheck that, obviously the NumPad keys will just perform regular, you know, Mac OS key, functions, whatever they're going to do. There's also a keystroke for that, and that is Control Option Clear on the NumPad, and the clear key is right above where the 7 would be. On a Windows keyboard, if you're familiar with that, it would be where NumLock is. Again, there's 4 extra keys on a Macintosh keyboard that are not normally found on Windows, on the Windows keyboards, but it would be on a Windows keyboard where the numlock is or above 7. So if we hold the Control and the Option keys and press that,
NumPad Commander off.
And if you do decide to install Windows on your Mac using Fusion, when you load that, you'll want to use that keystroke, especially if your screen reader uses the NumPad for anything. That'll be good to do. If you use Boot Camp, it won't matter because there you have to, you end up shutting down the Mac OS and booting natively into Windows, so that won't be an issue. But I'll go ahead and turn that back on.
NumPad Commander on.
Okay. Let's go ahead and keep reading through the window.
NumPad Commander table.
Okay, NumPad Commander. Now, what this is a list of all the different NumPad keys, essentially. And then there's a place where you can define what you want that key to do. Now, the one I want to show you in particular, NumPad 5, when you first get your Mac, that is actually set to click the mouse, which may work in most cases, but what I would suggest you do is change that to the one that says perform action, and that's basically the activate item command. So we've moved, we've navigated to the table, and our keyboard focus is now there also, because I've got cursor tracking on, and if you remember from previous podcasts, or for those that maybe haven't heard the other ones, by default, the keyboard focus or the system focus will follow the voiceover cursor. So when you move to like a button or a checkbox, the keyboard focus is there as well. And we can just arrow up and down now through this table. So I'll just go ahead and do that.
Row 2, NumPad keys 2, command, down, pop up button.
Okay, so let's get down to 5.
Row 5, NumPad keys 5, command, perform action, pop up button.
Now that's not what it defaults to. I'm going to change it to what it defaults to temporarily, which is click mouse, and then I'll show you how you can change that. So you're on a pop-up button, and to open that, you can either press the voiceover activate item command, or just press the space bar should open it even.
Menu check
mark. Yeah, it does.
Click mouse.
Okay, click mouse.
Interact with dialog alert. Command already associated. That command is already associated with the numeric key combination, shift 5. Do you wish to associate it with this numeric key combination?
Okay, I do have shift 5 defined as click the mouse. I'm not going to do that, actually.
Okay, button. Cancel button.
Just tab to cancel and select
NumPad
that.
Commander, table 1 row selected. Row 5, NumPad keys 5, command, perform action,
okay.
Pop-up button.
So when you get
closing dialogue.
When you first get a Mac, NumPad 5 in here will be click mouse. Just press the space bar on that pop-up button to go open the menu, and then select arrow. It's right next to click mouse, actually perform action, and then just press enter on that, and that will change it for you. And then the NumPad keys 4 and 6, 8 and 2 go, you know, voice over left, right, up, and down, respectively. So essentially, you can just navigate, in most cases, then with the 4 and the 6 keys, and then use the 5 to select an item. And there are some other commands that are defined by default. The NumPad plus key, which is right above enter on the NumPad, that's interact. And NumPad minus, which is right above plus, is stop interacting. So as you can see, when you use these keys, because you don't have to hold the Control and the Option keys down for these at all then, you just press the keys. Now, you can also set a modifier. So right now it's set for no modifier at all. So like NumPad, you know, 5, just pressing it by itself, I've got that set to, you know, activate an item or perform an action. So if we move down to the next item on the screen here with the voiceover cursor, I'm just going to press NumPad 6.
No modifier key. Pop-up button.
No modifier key. Okay. So if we select that...
Menu check mark. No modifier key.
Now, here's our choices here.
Command. Option. Control. Shift. NumPad. 0. Check mark. No modifier
okay.
key.
So, like, what I did, I defined the shift key. You're holding shift and NumPad 5 to do the mouse click. Because some places, it's rare, but there are some programs that when you press the... voiceover activate item command or perform action, it doesn't work. So then you have to do a mouse click on it. And so what I did for that is I defined, I held the shift, so you hold the shift key down and press numpad 5 to do the mouse click. So the way I did that was just move down here in this little menu to shift.
Command option control shift.
Press enter.
Shift.
Okay. So now we're, if we move back.
Help shift numpad commander table.
To the numpad commander table. Now we'll see a list of all the keys that are set to perform an action if the shift key is held down. And I don't think most of them are except for 5. Let's see.
Row 6. Row 5. Numpad keys 5. Command. Click mouse. Row 4. Numpad keys 4. Command. Pop up button.
See, it just says command. There's nothing defined for it. And I've done some other stuff too, like I've set up, let's see, the key to the right of clear, which I can't even remember what it's called at the moment. Let me turn on the keyboard to help.
Starting keyboard help. Okay. Type keys to hear their names. Equals. Application chooser menu. Brings up a list of currently opened applications.
Okay. So the cool thing is, too, on this, once you define a key on the numeric keypad to do something, or if you change the default layout, if you go to keyboard help and press that key, assuming you have the numpad commander enabled, it will tell you what that key does. I don't remember if shift with that key actually came by default, but I did define it as something, and I'll show you what that is.
Shift equals window chooser menu. Brings up a list of currently opened windows.
So I have that set to do that.
Clear. Menu bar. Moves voiceover cursor to the menu bar.
That one was defined by default.
Shift.
I don't think shift does anything.
Let's clear.
See. Yeah, it doesn't. So you can set up essentially your own numpad layout and define the keys however you want. The default should get you started, like I say, except for changing the numpad 5 from click the mouse to perform action. But other than that, the other keys should certainly get you started as far as using that. And it really does make using a voiceover a lot easier. Not having to hold the control and the option keys all the time. I rarely have to do that. Now, I use the numpad pretty much for most things. So that's kind of how the numpad works, numpad commander. Hopefully that made sense to everybody. I tried my best to explain it. I know it probably got a little confusing in some places just because of the way you set, the modifiers and that type of thing. But once you're looking at the Macintosh and you kind of look at the window, I think it'll become really clear and really, really easy for you. So let's go ahead and get out of here. Let me hit escape to turn off the keyboard help.
Escape. Stopping keyboard help.
And I will just press Command Q to get out of the VoiceOver control panel. That's the command to quit an application.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
Okay, so that's that. Well, let's talk about copying files and books and that type of thing. I've had a few people ask, what about, can you transfer items to the Victor stream? On the Mac, and the answer is an unequivocal yes, you can. Now, I'm using my Victor stream to record this, actually, so what I will use, and I'd recommend you do this anyway, I don't know if plugging the Victor stream directly into the Mac will work or not. I've never tried it. I've heard some people say it does, and some people say it doesn't. But what I always use to transfer files is a memory card reader. And put the secure digital card, which is what the Victor Reader Stream uses, into that. And that works just fine. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pause this recording, and I'm going to go grab... I've got a secure digital card in my Victor Stream, of course, because I'm recording this, but I'm going to go grab my card reader and another secure digital card, and then we'll go ahead and I'll show you... how that shows up on the Macintosh, and we'll go ahead and actually format the card so you can see how that's done. Even when you get a new secure digital card, it's always good to format it first. Really, any memory device like that, it's good to format it before you actually use it. And then we'll go ahead and hop on some of these book sites and maybe download a book and actually copy it over to the card. So I'm going to go ahead and pause this and go grab the card reader and a SD card, and we'll be right back. Okay, then we're back on the recording here, and I've got a secure digital card here, and my card reader, and a USB cable. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just go ahead and connect this card reader to one of the USB ports on my Macintosh. The Mac Mini has four of them, and I've got one used for my keyboard, and a second one is used for my USB microphone headset. So I've got two open ones, so I'm just going to plug this card reader into the third USB port. Let me just plug it into the card reader first. We'll put that right in there. Okay, great. And now we'll go ahead and plug in this cable into the USB port on the Macintosh. Now, one cool thing about the way the Mac does this with card readers, especially if you have these multi-slot card readers like mine, it's got four different slots on it. One for compact flash, one for secure digital / multimedia cards, one for memory sticks, and I'm not sure what the fourth one is. I think it's smart media cards. But in any case, I just plugged in the USB cable. And let's just push that all the way in. There we go. All right, the light on the card reader is lit up. But here's the cool thing about the way the Macintosh does it. In Windows, a lot of times with those card readers that have multi-slots, they mount themselves as a bunch of drives, and when you put in a card, of course, once you know what it is, it's usually not an issue, but if your card reader has several slots on it, when you put in a card, you may have to select each drive only to hear, you know, please insert a disk into this drive, and you have to do that each time before you find the one that actually is for that slot. Well, the Macintosh, it doesn't work that way. I've connected the card reader, and the light is lit up, so the Mac has definitely recognized it. And the other nice thing about the Mac, too, is the first time when you connect these, you don't have to wait 30 seconds while it says, you know, please wait, you know, while Windows installs the driver, configures it. No, none of that. You just plug the card reader in, and it just works. same thing with the USB headset I've got, the microphone headset. It just works. I've got the card reader connected, and it's lit up, but I don't have the secure digital card in the slot yet. So if I try to arrow around here, you'll notice that it doesn't list anything. Let me press the voiceover command to see what's got the keyboard focus.
Macintosh HD selected has keyboard focus.
See, only the hard drive, because it doesn't automatically just mount all the slots as a drive. If there's no disk or card for a slot, it doesn't show it. So let me go ahead and insert my SD card here into the slot. Okay. And it's flickering, so it's definitely kind of evaluating the situation. Okay, now let's arrow around and see what we've got.
Macintosh, no name selected.
It says no name. I don't have a label for my drive, but you'll notice that it says no name, and that is the secure digital card. So there are three other slots on this card reader, but they will not show here because there's no... there's nothing in them. So you never have to worry about on a Macintosh, you know, opening a drive only to be told, you know, please insert a disk. That will not happen with this. Now, normally when you first get a card, or there may come a time when you want to, you know, erase everything and start over, you may want to actually format the card. So to do that on the Mac, I'll show you how that's done. We need to use what's called disk utility. There's a couple ways we could get to it. We could open the Applications folder and then go to the Utilities folder, and it's in there, but the Macintosh provides a keystroke to automatically get to the Utilities folder, and that command is Command-Shift-U. So I'll go ahead and press that.
Window, Utilities, Table.
Okay, and we are now in our list of applications that are utilities. To get to Disk Utility, let's just type DI. That should do the trick.
Row 9. Name, digital color, meter, dot app.
Well, let's go down one more time.
Row 10, name, directory, row 11, name, directory.app.
Yeah, let's do DIS.
Row 9. Name, digital, row 14, row 12. Name, disk, utility.app.
There we go.
Selected application.
.app, which means it's an application. All right, let's just do Command O to open that. We could also do the voiceover Control Option Space keystroke that I mentioned earlier to select, but the Mac OS does have a built-in keystroke to actually open something also, and that's Command O, so we'll do that now.
Table, disk utility, window, disk utility, selected disks, table, has keyboard focus.
Okay, selected disks. Let's arrow down, and we should see the hard drive here, and then we should see this secure digital card also. Let's see what we've got. Where am I here?
Selected disks, table, no selection. Expanded, 111.8 GB Hitachi HDS 541612J, expanded, Macintosh HD. Expanded, 244 MB generic storage device media. Expanded, no name.
Okay, so it shows the capacity and then it has the title of the disk. What you're seeing there, the Macintosh actually shows you the disk itself and then it shows you the actual volume, as it were, or the partition on that disk. So if we wanted to actually erase that, the Mac calls it erasing, it doesn't really call it formatting. To do that, let's just tab around here and see
expanded,
what we've got.
240, first aid, selected tab 1 of 5, erase tab 2 of 5.
There we go. Now on the Mac, when you arrow left and right through the tabs, you press the space bar to select that tab. There we go.
MS-DOS, FAT, pop-up button.
Okay, so now we can just read this window here. Let's go ahead and do that.
Selected disks, table. Vertical splitter, first aid, tab 1 of 5, erase, selected tab 2 of 5, partition, tab 3 of 5, RAID, tab 4 of 5, restore, tab 5 of 5. To erase all data on a disk, or volume, 1, select the disk, or volume in the list on the left. 2, specify a format, and name. 3, if you want to prevent the recovery of the disk's erased data, click Security Options. 4, click Erase. To prevent the recovery of previously deleted files without erasing the volume, select a volume in the list on the left and click Erase Free Space.
So, yep, that's kind of nice. Windows actually, you have to get separate utilities to do that stuff, to wipe the free space and that type of thing. The Macintosh will do it for you if you need to erase something securely. So, so you can choose to erase, you know, the entire disk or just a certain volume if your disk, you know, does have more than one, you know, volume on it. So, of course, in most cases, like a memory card, you're only going to have one volume for it. So, anyway, let's keep reading here.
Volume format, MS-DOS, FAT, pop-up button.
So that's the format we could choose. Let's see what our choices are.
Menu checkmark, Mac OS extended, journaled, Mac OS extended. Mac OS extended, case sensitive. Mac OS extended, case sensitive. Mac OS standard. Checkmark, MS-DOS, FAT.
And that's what we would want.
MS-DOS, FAT.
Because if we do any of the other ones, Windows won't be able to read it. So that's what we would want here. Let's go ahead and keep reading down here.
Name. Untitled, edit text.
Untitled is fine.
Blank, text. Erase free space, dimmed button. Security options button, erase button.
So if we hit erase here, which I'll go ahead and do, there's really nothing I really need to save on this card. I'll go ahead and do that.
Press interact with dialog alert. Erase disk. Erasing the disk will destroy all information on the volume of the disk. This disk has one volume, no name. Are you sure you wish to erase the disk untitled?
And
erasing the disk will cancel, but erase button.
We'll just do erase here.
Press erase button.
And the card reader is
dialogue
flashing away.
Window, generic storage device media. Closing dialog. Disk description, generic storage device media total capacity, 200 help button. Selected disks table. Vertic first aid, erase partition, restore to erase all data on a disk, or volume, 1, select the disk, or volume in the list on the left. 2, specify volume format, MS-DOS, FAT, pop-up button.
Okay, so that should have done it. It's formatted, and it formats very quickly. If we did want to do the security option, I'll just show you that as well.
Name. Untap blank. Erase free space. Dimmed button. Security options. Button.
We'll just go in there.
Press. Interact with dialog. For window. Generic storage device media. Secure erase options. These options specify how to erase the selected disk or volume to prevent disk recovery applications from recovering it. This is quick and provides the least security. It erases just the information used to access secure
okay, let's,
erase.
Let's just read this with the voiceover cursor.
These options specify how to erase the selected disk or volume to prevent disk recovery applications from recovering it. Don't erase data. Selected radio button.
Okay, that's why it was so quick. I'm actually going to change this and reformat it in this case just so you can see how this works.
This is quick and provides the least security. It erases just the information used to access your files and leaves the data in the files unchanged. Many commonly available disk recovery applications can restore that data. Zero out data. Radio button. This is quick and provides good security. It erases the information used to access your files and writes zeros over the data once. 7-pass erase radio button. This option takes 7 times longer than zero out data and meets the U.S. Department of Defense DOD 5220-22M standard for securely erasing magnetic media. It erases the information used to access your files and writes over the data 7 times. 35-pass erase radio
wow.
button.
Wow. that would take a long time, wouldn't it?
This option takes 35 times longer than zero out data and provides the best security. It erases the information used to access your files and writes over the data 35 times. Help button. Cancel but okay.
Okay,
button.
So we'll just do that zero out one. We'll do that.
Secure erase options. Secure me don't erase. This is zero out data radio button. Press zero out data radio button.
Okay. Now the OK is down at the bottom of the window, so I'll just zap down to the bottom.
OK button.
Select that.
Press OK. Closing dialog.
Okay. And now we should be able to do erase here.
Help button. Disk description. Help but dip. So erase button. Selected disk. Dimmed image. Erase button. Press. Interact with dialog. Alert. Erase disk.
Yes.
Erase button.
And I'm
cancel.
Sure.
Erase. Press. Dial. Closing dialog. Disk description. Help button. Help. Selected disk. Dimmed image. Busy progress indicator. Writing zeros to disk. Skip button. Writing zeros to disk. Estimated time, less than 1 minute.
There we go. And it's flickering away here. So that might be the one you'd probably want to use if you wanted to format and really start over.
Skip
I did want
button.
To show you how that works.
Security options. Writing zeros to disk. Estimated time, less than 1 minute.
But that's really good. In Windows, you have to get separate utilities to do that. So,
Help button.
And that should be done.
Disk description. Help. Dip. Selected disk. Dimmed image. Erase button.
Okay. So that's done. Let's go ahead and quit the disk utility with Command Q.
Finder. Window. Utility.
And I'm still in the utilities folder. I'll go ahead and close that.
Untitled. Selected.
Okay.
Mac and untitled selected.
And it calls it untitled because I didn't give it a name. Now, the Victor Stream normally looks for its books, especially the talking books, in a folder called $VRDTB. Now, if I was to put this in the stream, which again I can't right now because I'm recording this podcast with it, so I'm just going to go ahead and create that folder on the using the Macintosh, which is easy to do.
Macintosh untitled selected.
With that disk highlighted on the desktop, we just do Command-O to open it.
Open. Window. Untitled. Table. Table.
Okay. And it's blank. So, there is a key command to do a new folder, but I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. So, let's just go up to the menu bar and go to the File menu.
Menu bar. App. Find. File. New Finder Window. New Folder. Command-Shift. N.
Command-Shift-N. Okay, thank you.
Table.
So we'll just do Command-Shift-N here.
New folder. Untitled folder. Edit text. Interact with edit text. 50T.
And I will just delete all of that out of here.
D-E-R. R-E-F-S-T-E-F-T-U.
Okay, let's put a dollar sign there.
Dollar.
And then
V.
V-R.
D.
D.
T.
T.
B.
B. And I believe if we just press enter here, it should do it.
Window. Untitled. Table. Table. Has keyboard focus. One row selected. Collapsed. Row 1. Name. $VRDTP selected folder.
Yep.
Date modified.
There we are. Now we've got our folder in which to put the books in. Okay. Let's go ahead and Command W out of here to close this Finder window.
Close with untitled selected.
Okay. Let's go ahead and hop out onto the web, and let's go see if we can get a book. Let's go ahead and go to the NLS Talking Books, and what I'll download, I actually do want to get this, the newest Smart Computing magazine for January of 2009, so this will work out well. To do that, let's go down to the dock, and we'll open up a WebKit is actually what I use for the browsing. It's what Safari uses, but I'm using the latest nightly build of the WebKit engine. It still runs in Safari, basically, but they fixed a lot of accessibility issues since the last official release of Safari. So let's go down to the dock here.
Finder running.
All right, and we'll just press a W.
WebKit.
There we go. Press Enter.
Finder, untitled, selected. Safari HTML content.
Okay, great. And let's do Command L here to open a location.
http://.
And we're just going to do NLS talking books.
Period.
Dot.
O-R-G.
Org
slash
DTB.
HTML content. HTML content. Interact. Heading level 2. NLS downloadable audiobook and magazine service. Access to the NLS download pilot website is restricted to authorized NLS readers. You will need a login ID and password to access it. If you do not have one, you may review the criteria for participation and request an account by reading the link application instructions.
And I could have easily skipped that, but I let it read it on purpose just so you can see you know, how this site kind of works with the Mac and VoiceOver. I'm just pressing numpad 6, again using the numpad commander to move an item at a time here through this.
Period. Link. Enter the NLS download pilot website.
That's what we want.
Press enter. Interact with dialog for window. NLS downloadable book and magazine service pilot test enrollment application. To view this page, you must log into area download pilot project on www.nlstalkingbooks.org/443. Your login information will be sent securely. Name. Password.
Okay. So I should already be in the
log edit text blank in sec edit text name.
Name, okay.
Edit text blank.
All right, and that for this is the your email address, so I will put that.
N0OXY@CARTER.net.
And that is my email address. It's my ham call, N0OXY@charter, charter.net, if any of you want to contact me with any questions or comments. I'd love to hear from you. I've gotten a lot of feedback on these, and it's great to know that everybody enjoys these. Okay, let's keep going here.
Password. Secure edit text.
Okay, I'm going to type in my password, and it will not say... If you're in a secure edit text, it won't say what you type. So I'm going to go ahead and enter my password here. Okay, that should do it. Let's keep going.
Remember this password in my keychain. Uncheck checkbox.
No, I won't check that for now. We'll leave that go.
Cancel button. Login button.
There we go. Let's select that.
Press dialog for 8 closing dialog.
All right.
Interact with 8 heading level 2 books. Heading level 3 recently added books. Heading level 3 books by author. Interact with text to all authors. Pop up button.
Okay.
Go button. Heading level 3 2 items. Books by title. All titles. Pop up button. Go button.
And this is just what we could do. We could do a search here if we wanted to.
All titles. Pop up button.
We could do all titles and.
Go button. Heading level 3. 2 items. Books by subject. All subjects. Pop up button.
And again, we could browse that. And I'll just open up one of these menus so you can see.
Menu check mark. All fiction. All nonfiction. Adventure. Animals and Wildlife, Arts, The, Astronomy, Bestsellers, Biography, Blindness and Physical Handicaps.
Okay, and you kind of get the idea. I'll hit escape to go there.
Also,
on the web, a pop-up button is like the same as a combo box.
Go button, heading level 3, search by keyword, edit text, blank.
Yeah, and there's a search we can do.
Go button, heading level 2, magazines.
That's what we're interested in here.
Heading level 3, magazines by title.
Magazines by title, that's what we want.
All titles, pop-up button.
Okay, so let's select that pop-up button.
Menu check mark, American Heritage.
Let's just hit S.
So Jones, smart computing.
There we go. Press enter.
Smart computing.
And then we should have a go button here.
Go button.
That's what we want.
Press go, but HTML content.
Okay, great.
Interact displaying items. 1 through 30 of 30. Heading level 3, smart computing. Link, download smart computing January 2009.
There we go. Let's just select that.
Press download smart computing January 2009. Window, downloads.
And this just automatically downloads to the downloads folder, is what this will do. Let's see how the progress is going along. I'll just interact with this list.
Interact with list, file icon, interact with 667 DB smart computing underline 2009.1.zip. File icon button, DB 10, 11, 11, 11, 12, 12, 12, 13, 13, 14, DB smart computing underline 2009.1.zip.
So that's fine. and I'm not sure exactly how big this is, but
20 DB smart computing
underline 2009.1.zip. So it just saves it to your downloads folder, and you don't have to get anything extra either for the Macintosh to handle zip files. It will just when you open it, what it will do is it will show all the files. Actually, it'll extract them. I think it actually does extract them better than just showing them to you into a subfolder, and we can just copy it from there. And I'll show you that in just a minute. But as you can see, it navigates the NLS site with ease. It works very well, and Bookshare works just as good. And I'll show you that. Actually, I think what I'll do is after this one's done. We'll go ahead and go to the Bookshare site since we're in the web browser here, and I'll show you how to navigate that. And the way you would copy a book there is the exact same, because those are now all zip files, so you don't even need a extract utility anymore for that to work. Let's see if this download's done.
50 something megs
now. So it's just finishing up. And that's also how you download any file on the Mac, too, on the web. The same concept. When you select it, it saves it to your download folder. And a lot of times, if it's a native Mac application, what it'll actually be is a .dmg extension, which is basically a disk image. And when you open that, it'll basically mount on your desktop as a virtual disk, per se. So then you would just... you could open it from there and see the files inside of it. And then when you're done, you just eject it with Command-D to remove it. All right, let's see if this is done. It should be just about done by now.
Group. Dim group.
It is. Okay, it's done. So let's just do Command-W to close this download window.
Close window. Selection by magazine title displaying items 1 through 30 of 30.
Okay. All right, let's just go over to Bookshare really quick. And I will show you how that works as far as navigation before we actually transfer this book to the SD card for the stream. So let's do Command L again and to go to the address bar, and we'll just type in bookshare.org.
HTML content. Edit text blank.
Okay, now there, this page actually, by what it defaults to doing is, it actually, when it first loads up, it actually puts you on the email address edit box to log in, rather than just leaving you at the top of the page. And VoiceOver realized that, so it, it moved its focus there as well and mentioned it to you. So. We should be right in the email box, ready to type. Let's see.
Email, edit text, blank.
And we are. So I'm just going to type in, again, my email address to log in here.
N0OXY@CAOTEOTE.
Okay, and move to the password field. We can either tab or just press a, well, in my case, I'm using the numpad, so numpad 6, which I'll do here.
Password. Secure edit text.
And we're in the secure edit text, so I'll type in my password here. All right, and let's keep going with numpad 6.
Login button.
There we go.
Press login HTML content.
And there we are. We are logged into Bookshare. So let's see. Well, we could do a search. We could browse. Actually, let's go ahead and browse. And I'll give you some hints here for making this a little easier to use. So let's just navigate down
interact
the page here.
Link, Bookshare Home, heading level 2, Mike Arrigo's tap link, heading level 2, Mike Arrigo's taskbar, link, quick search, link, my account, link, change password, link, log out, search, title, author, first name, last name, or ISBN. Search for books, using title, author, first name, last name, or ISBN, edit text.
And there's the edit box where we could do a quick search.
Search for books.
And that's the
title,
button that we press to
link,
submit it.
Advanced search. Link, browse. Heading level 2, quick links. Link, newspapers and magazine. Link, reading room. Link, donate now. Heading level 1, books without barriers. Accessible books, magazines and periodicals. Heading level 2, two items. Accessible books and periodicals for readers with print disabilities. Bookshare is free for all U.S. students with qualifying disabilities. Student memberships are currently funded by an award from the U.S. Department of Education Office of Special Education Programs, OSEP.
Okay, let's go back to that browse link.
Book, head, link, reading, link, news, heading level 2, quick links, link, browse.
And let's select that.
Press HTML content.
All right, let's say that we wanted to maybe browse and see what computer books were added in the last month. All right, let's go down
interact,
this page.
Link, heading, link, quick
actually,
search.
I'm going to use the heading, next heading command to skip past the stuff at the top of the page.
Heading level 1, browse. Heading level 2, select from the following. Link, authors. Link, categories.
Categories would be what we'd want for that, so let's go ahead and do that.
Prep HTML content.
Okay.
Interact
and
link, Bookshare Home. Heading level 2, Mike Arrigo's tap. Heading level 2, quick links.
And let's go to the next heading again. Let's get past all
heading
the stuff at the top.
Heading level 1, browse. Visited link, browse. Heading level 2, select from the following. Link, animals. Link, art and architecture. Link, biographies and memoirs. Link, business and fine. Link, children's books.
Actually, it's probably going to be the next link, but just to show you another feature here, let's just pop up the item chooser menu. What this does is it gives us some... basically, it puts all the items on the page into a list, and we can just then narrow it down that way. So I'm going to press, by default, numpad 9, if you're using the numpad commander, is the item chooser menu. Or you can do a control option I to do it also.
Building item chooser menu. Item chooser menu 120.
All right. And let's just type like COMP.
One item, link, computers and internet.
Press enter.
Link, computers and internet.
There we go.
Press computers and internet. HTML content.
Okay, now let's narrow this down and change the sort. I think it defaults to sorting by like the title alphabetically. So to do that, let's look at the page here.
Let's search title, search for book, link, advanced, visited link, browse.
The other thing you'll want to change here, it has two ways to view these. You've got a list view or a table view. I'd say the list view by far is easier because then each one is like a heading, each book, almost like the way Google does it.
Heading, link, newspaper, link, donate map, heading level 1, browse results, table view, link, list view.
Yes, it has me set to, actually list view is what I need to select there. It defaults to table view, so I'm going to select this list view link.
Press list view, HTML content.
Okay, now let's
interact link, heading level 2, Mike Arrigo.
Again, it'll start from the beginning and show you everything. I'm interested mainly for this one, just to see what books have been added in this category for the last month, and I want to sort them by the date added. So to do that, again, let's pull up the item chooser menu, and let's get to the item that has the word sort in it.
building item chooser menu, item chooser menu, 501 item, sort order.
There we go. Press enter.
Sort order.
And it zaps the voiceover cursor right to that spot.
Heading level, sort
order. And let's do a little adjustment here.
By title, pop-up button.
Okay, the sort by title, no, I don't want that. I want to do it by the date. So let's select that pop-up button, which again, it's equivalent in Windows to like a combo box or something like that.
Menu, by author, by copyright date, by up check mark, by date added.
By date added, that's what I want to do. Press enter.
By date added.
And then...
date of edition.
Date of edition.
All books, pop-up menu check mark, in the last week, in the last month.
In the last month. Press enter there.
In the last month.
And...
results per page.
Results per page.
25. Pop-up button.
25, that's fine.
Go button.
There we go. Let's select that go button.
Press go button. HTML content.
Okay, there we go.
Interact link.
Now let's, again, jump by heading to skip past the stuff at the top of the page here.
Heading level 2, Micari. Heading level 2, quick links. Heading level 1, browse results.
Okay.
Link, table view, list view, visited link, browse. Showing 1 through 4 of 4 results. Heading level 2, 2 items. Steve Jobs. The journey is the reward.
Okay. Now, you notice it says heading level 2 there, that it doesn't call that book title a link. Well, what that actually is the heading and the link are actually the same element, or the element there is a heading and a link. But if we interact with this heading...
interact with heading level 2. Link. Link. Steve Jobs. The journey is the reward.
Then it does show it as a link there. So I just wanted to show you that. Okay, let's keep going.
Stop interacting by link Young Jeffrey S. Download link download in DAISY format.
That's the one you would probably want to take for the Victor. Although the newest Victor firmware can do BRF files too, the Braille files. But I usually say go with the DAISY one.
Vertical link download in BRF format. Synopsis. Steve Jobs embarks on a new venture in Silicon Valley after resigning as chairman with Apple Computers. He had to face hostilities from the management of the Apple board in his new business. This book narrates his way to success. Copyright date, 1988. Heading level 2, 2 items. No place to hide. By, link, Jr., Robert O'Hara. Download, link, download in DAISY format. Vertical, link, download in BRF format. Synopsis. An award-winning reporter for the Washington Post, O'Hara reviews some of the surveillance and identification technologies and procedures now being used by corporations and governments against the American people.
Interesting stuff. Okay. Anyway, so you get the idea that that's how you navigate Bookshare. Let's go ahead and log out of this, and we'll go ahead and I'll show you how this is copied, that book that we downloaded, the Smart Computing Magazine, to the card. So let's go back to the top of the page.
Link to 1 through 4 of 4 search results.
Okay. And let's just use the voiceover find command here to find the word out for logout.
Enter search text. Up T. Link. Logout.
There we go. Select that.
Press 8. Edit text. Blank.
And it puts us back into the email box again, ready to log it back in again, which we don't want to do. So let's go ahead and press a command Q to quit the browser here.
Finder. Untitled.
So as you can see, the Mac and voiceover, you're able to cruise around those book sites with ease. Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so now we need to go unzip this file and get it copied over. So we're still sitting on the untitled disk on our desktop. Let's arrow up one time.
Macintosh HD selected.
Back to the hard drive, and let's open that.
Open. Window. Macintosh HD. Table. Table.
Actually, I could do it that way, but I'm going to take a different route. I'm sorry, let me close that. Command W.
Close. Macintosh HD.
To get to our home folder, which is... where actually we want to go, because that's where the downloads are stored. Let's actually do Command-Shift-H. That's the command to open your home folder. The home folder, it's kind of the equivalent in Windows, would be, you know, under, I think in Vista it's under users / your name, and XP it's documents and settings / you know, your name. That's essentially what, you know, this is to the home folder. So we do Command-Shift-H here.
Home. Window, Micarigo, table, table.
All right, and press like D-O-W to get to the downloads folder.
Expanded, row 8, name, downloads, selected folder, date modified, today, 7.
Okay. You can expand the folders and view it, you know, in the same window, but for this, I'm going to go ahead and just open it open the folder, so that's all it's showing us here.
Open in this window. Row 1. Name, about, dot row 2. Name, DB Smart Computing underline 2009.1.zip, selected zip archive, date modified, today, 7:19 p.m., size, 69.4 megabytes, kind, zip archive.
All right, and that's all that's in this folder, but that's what we want. So let's just go ahead and open that.
Archive utility, window, finder, window, downloads, table.
Okay, let's see what we've got here.
Row 1, name, about, collapsed, row 2, name, DB Smart Computing underline 2009.1, selected folder.
Okay, so what it did there is it actually, yeah, it did what I thought it would do. Basically, when you open a zip file, it automatically opens it and extracts it for you. And then makes it, it puts it in a subfolder, basically for you, the contents of it. So what we need to do then, let's go ahead and open that folder, which says collapse. We could write arrow on it and view the contents, but again, just to make sure we don't have anything extra, let's go ahead and open that folder.
19 rows added. Row 22. Name, ASN LSD at row 21.
Okay, let's go to the top
name,
here.
Row 1. Name, DTBS.
Okay. So what we basically need to do is copy all the contents of this, you know, to the card. So to do that, let's do Command A, which is the Select All command on the Mac.
22 rows selected.
And it tells you what's the 22 rows selected. If we want to know what's all selected, we can press the VoiceOver command to read the selection.
22 rows selected. Row 1. Name, DTBSMIL110.DTB, selected document, date modified, January 29th, 2009, 10:12 a.m., size, 4 kilobytes, kind, document, row 2, name.
Okay, you get the idea. I don't think you want to hear all 21 or 22 rows that are selected there, but it would tell you that if you let it continue. So, all of that is selected. Now, to copy it, we need to do Command-C here for copy.
Copy 22 items.
It says copy 22 items, so that's what we want. All right, let's close out of this window, and that'll take us back to the desktop.
Macintosh HD selected.
Okay, now we go ahead and open up that untitled drive.
Untitled selected.
Which is the memory card, of course.
Open, window, untitled, table, table, collapsed, row 1. Name, $VRDTB, selected.
And that's the VRDTB folder, so we'll just go ahead and open that.
Oh, window, $VRDTB, table, table.
And to paste, we do Command-V, which is similar to, you know, the Windows Control-V, but anyway, we do a Command-V here to paste this.
11 rows, copy.
And that will do it. Let's check on the transfer here.
Copy, list. Interact with list, stop copying. Table.
And it's done. It's already done copying. it's done. And we can even look at that here. Let's see.
Row 1. Name. DTBSMIL110.DTD. Select row 2. Name. NCX row 3. Row 4. Name. Row 5. Name.
Let's just see what the last one is.
Row 22.
Row 22. Yep. So it's done. It's copied. And we could take this out now and it would read on the Mac just fine. The one thing you can't do this way on the Mac, and this has nothing to do with VoiceOver, it's the Mac OS itself, and I'm not sure why they don't add this feature. Hopefully they will. You can't do a Command X to cut something and then Command V and paste it on another drive or something like that. That does not work. It's not that VoiceOver doesn't let you do it, it's the Mac OS doesn't support that. If you want to move something, you do actually have to drag and drop, which you can do with VoiceOver, and I may demonstrate that on another podcast, although I've never had a really need to do that. But so once it's copied, in this case, and you may want to leave it there anyway until you make sure that it is copied, so you may not want to cut, you know, that stuff, but I'm going to assume it is at this point. So to actually delete it out of here, then what we have to do is we're still sitting in the VRDTB folder on our memory card. Let's do Command W to close that.
Table.
Okay.
Untitled selected.
There we go. All right. Let's go back to the home folder again.
Home. Window, Mike Arrigo, table, table.
And let's go back to the downloads folder.
Collapsed, row 10. Name, DBs, row expanded, row 8. Name, downloads, selected.
And let's open that as a, let's open that up separately so it only shows that.
Open in this window.
Yeah, open that. Command Control will do that for you.
Row 3.
Okay.
Row 1.
Now.
Name, about, downloads.pdf.
What we've got here is we got the folder that has that extracted archive in it, and then we've also got the archive itself. Well, we don't need either one of those anymore. So, let's go down to row 2.
Collapsed. Row 2.
That's the folder.
Name, DBs,
and then if we hold the shift key down and press the down arrow, it should also select row 3, which is that archive. That's similar to how Windows does it, too.
Two rows selected.
And let's just verify that we have selected what we think we have with the voiceover read selection command.
Two rows selected. Collapsed. Row 2. Name. DB Smart Computing underline 2009-1 selected folder. Date modified. Today, 7:31 p.m. Size. Kind. Folder. Row 3. Name. DB Smart Computing underline
2. Okay, that's what we need. All right, now to move that to the trash, we press the command. We hold the command key and we press the delete key, or the backspace key, actually, most of you might think of it as. So you press command and backspace. Or the Apple calls it delete, though. So I guess we'll call it by the proper term. But
move to trash. Finder has new dialogue.
And it says move to trash.
Row 1.
And now all we've got is that about.pdf file that I had in here before. Now that just puts it in the trash. That's the equivalent of like the recycle bin. To actually empty it, let's go ahead and do Command W to close this.
Macintosh HD selected.
To actually empty the trash, we can do it from the Finder menu, or we can just press Command Option Shift Delete, and it's a fairly easy keystroke to do. It's pressing four keys, but it's pretty simple. Or you can also do it again from the Finder menu, but we press that.
Empty trash.
It says empty trash.
Finder has new
and
dialogue.
That folder and that archive now is deleted. It's no longer on the Macintosh. Now, as far as disconnecting the card reader, this is also something that's easier to do on the Mac than in Windows. In Windows, you have to go to the safely remove hardware, and then if you've got more than one device on there, then you actually have to know which one it is, and then select it, and then do stop, and then it tells you, you know, that it's safe to take it out and that kind of thing. With the Mac, you don't have to deal with any of that. Just arrow to the drive.
Untitled Mac and untitled selected.
Untitled, and hold the command key and press E for eject.
Zero items selected.
And that's it. It's done. You can safely take it out. It's, unplug the card reader, take the secure digital card out of the slot. It's done. There's no having to wade through a couple of different dialogues. That Command E does all that for you. So that's kind of how that works. Okay, well, that kind of covers what I wanted to in this podcast. I hope everybody's enjoyed this, and I hope everyone did find it informal. Certainly, if you have any other questions for me or things you'd like me to cover, certainly feel free to contact me. Love hearing feedback, and it's great to know that everybody's enjoying these podcasts so much. If you'd like to email me, again, my email address is n0oxy@charter.net. So everyone take care, and we'll probably talk to everybody again sometime soon if we do a Mac podcast number 7, which more than likely they'll probably be at this rate. It's just a matter of deciding what to cover. Anyway, everyone take care, and God bless.